Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week, the Champions League and the Europa League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and with this being the international break, we wanted to create a couple special episodes to celebrate Women's History Month.
That's right, Musty. We're going to hear from two very impressive women in Premier League referee Sean Massey-Ellis and Leeds United defender Olivia Smart in just a little bit. But first, I think it's important we take some time to celebrate the inspirational women that are in our lives, mate.
Yeah, I think, you know, from my side of things, Rob, I think it's kind of pretty obvious, really, but the inspirational women in my life, and have been so now for many, many years, of course, my mother and my wife. And why they're an inspiration is that both of them, I've witnessed go through really difficult periods, mate, really difficult periods in life with family stuff and illness stuff. And the way that both of them came through really in a strong manner is just inspirational. I always say it to my wife, Caroline, like, yeah, the women are the greatest sex. They just absolutely are. The stuff that they handle and what my wife's had to handle recently as well is defining and inspirational. And I think, you know, other kind of, you know, I look back, Rob, and I moved to America in 2006, and women's football in the UK was nothing. There was nothing there. So in terms of inspiration from women in the UK to start a league, and now there's a thriving league where all the clubs are embracing it, I think that's pretty inspirational as well. In the country that we grew up in, of course, and we had our football careers, but there was so little women's football, and the way that that's moved on, maybe with some, you know, from watching what happens in the US with the way they've developed girls and women's soccer over a period of time through college and through the professional game, maybe that's helped. But that, for me as well, you know, I've been gone now, what's that, like nearly 14, 15 years. That, I think, is a real special achievement by the women in the UK.
It's interesting you talk about women, Rob, and you talk about the strength. And it's funny, in a male world, in our football, the strength is like, you know, how many muscles you've got and how hard you tackle. Strength of personality, strength of character. It's so important, as you say, you know, these women around us. You know, I wanted to pick out the inspirational women that sort of mean something to me. And it's interesting because obviously my mother would be part of that. But I'm actually going to go for my three sisters who I grew up with in a home with four siblings. My brother left home very early, and I kind of grew up with my three sisters at home. And three young girls of colour who've grown up to be kind of quite inspirational people, I believe. They were the first sort of people in our family to go to college, to get the degree, to get their education. They've all worked in you know, either for themselves, their own businesses, or in corporate sort of UK as it was. They've all moved abroad at times, learned different languages, all strangely all found their way into teaching, which I think is a kind of special person who teaches, who cares, who has a personality. And who's made a mark? I think it's easy often to think of inspirational people, and you cast your net with famous people or people who've made, you know, done big things. And sometimes right under your nose, these people who have done something. I just, like I said, my three sisters have been inspirational for me growing up as a young child in the UK. It's just nice to recognise them in this very special month.
Yeah, very, very well said, my friend. And speaking of inspirational women, let's now listen to Premier League referee Sean Massey-Ellis, and she shares her important views on the challenges women in football face today.
Challenge of the perception that we don't know what we're doing, because it's always been there. It's always been women don't know the offside rule. Women don't know what football's about, so they shouldn't be involved in it. And for me, I've come through exactly the same pathway and exactly the same tests and challenges as male referees. And I think that's the stereotype, really, that I would want to challenge, that we are good enough to be there if we're there. We're not there as a tick box.
And we have a female assistant referee today, the first time that Sean Massey has run the line in a Premier League match.
I think the more girls we get involved in football, the more other girls feel like they can be involved, and that sport is for all. I'm a real big believer, from my PE teacher background as well, that sport gives much more than just a physical aspect. It gives that mental stability. I'd say fitness is always a challenge for me, because to keep up with the players on the pitch, I have to be on top of my game, because they already have a head start on you. As an assistant referee, you're going from a sideways position when they're already running. You've got to be stationary effectively with the last defender. So if the last defenders are pushing out and you've got an attacker that's sprinting forwards, they're already 10 metres ahead. But also, coming back from having a baby was really difficult. So the doctors told me that I wouldn't be able to come back to refereeing. They told me that I wouldn't be able to do any fitness work again. So obviously that's a big part of my career. So coming back from having my daughter was probably the biggest moment in my life where I actually thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to have lost my career. I had lots of support from the FA Pigeonwell, who, you know, gave me every possible person to go to that I needed to support me, and then give me the opportunity to come back step by step. I went kind of back through the leagues again, and that's what I definitely needed, that support. I want to be able to support other referees coming through. I always say that once I finish my career, I want to be making sure that we've got the next generation of referees and sportswomen coming through. I think it's really important that we create that atmosphere that they feel safe in, an environment that they feel safe in. When I said, can I be a referee? That shouldn't be a question that any other female has to ask anymore.
What a great interview that was, mate. Sean Massey Ellis. I don't think I could be more impressed with somebody in the game, Rob, than I am with Sean. And she does a fantastic job every week, and why shouldn't she, I suppose, would be the question. But the way she talks, the depth, the way she wants to pave the way for other women to be part of this game is fascinating. And do you know what? There should be a role for her. You know, like the PGMOL. Whenever she decides to hang up a flag, and I'd love to see her as a centre ref. I think that's the next step for her. But whenever she decides it's time, she should be part of developing this game. She's got a love and a drive, and carries herself in such a way that she could be inspirational for generations of women.
So important, Rob, when she talks about, you know, we do the same training. I've done the same stuff. I learn the same stuff. The fitness and keeping up with male players is the biggest challenge. We see her week in, week out, Rob, and we kind of laugh about it because she never makes a mistake. She never makes a mistake. So inspirational.
She's human VAR.
And she spoke, I couldn't, you know, when you hear her speak like that, because you never hear her say a word and not hint at saying a word. So that was a brilliant, brilliant interview with her. And you're absolutely right. That's true inspiration right there.
Great insight from Sean Massey-Ellis. Another impressive young woman we want to hear from now is Leeds United defender Olivia Smart. Not only is she a professional footballer, but she's also a nurse helping vaccinate patients at Elland Road. Let's listen to her incredible story in this conversation she recently had with our very own Rebecca Lowe.
Olivia, welcome to NBC Sports. Thank you so much for joining us, this being Women's History Month, International Women's Day. We want to know about you. I know your story. Can you tell America your story right now?
So I play for Leeds United. I'm Olivia Smart. I'm from Leeds, born and bred. Couldn't support another club, couldn't play for another club. Professionally as a job, I'm a nurse working in the NHS at the minute. And a lot of the story that I've told through my professional aspect of working in the NHS has been obviously surrounding the coronavirus pandemic. Leeds United, obviously, as you may or may not know, have welcomed in the NHS to the club and allowed them to open a vaccination centre, which I was lucky enough to be able to work in and vaccinate the first person that was vaccinated in the centre. And yes, so for me, it like brought everything home, like professionally and personally, that all fit in for me and Leeds United, like as a club is massively important to me. And what they've done for me as a person, personally, what they've done for me as a professional, and currently what they're doing for the city of Leeds is just huge. And I think you can probably appreciate that Leeds as a football club has made massive strides this season. You know, playing football on and off the pitch is really important for me, but to be able to watch the boys play some excellent football this season has just been outstanding. I've I've grown up watching football in Leeds, and sometimes we've gone through some tough times and it's been a bit difficult to watch. But everyone in the city of Leeds has stayed by it and embraced the club as a family. And like the city of Leeds is, we've got behind one another, and look, we deserve to be where we are as a club as well. So that's just a bit about me and who I am and why Leeds is such a big thing for me.
Well, Olivia, Leeds United has many fans across the United States, both who are Leeds fans and also just football fans, because, as you say, some of the football they play and the progress and the steps that they've made, considering 15, 16 years ago where they were, is pretty amazing. So they've definitely garnered new fans across the United States, and I'm sure you will too. Let's talk about the balance of being a women's footballer for Leeds United and being a nurse. Can you give us the detail? How, I mean, women in the world juggle a lot. That's what we do. How do you juggle those two roles, time-wise, effort-wise? Do you have time for anything else?
Well, I don't spend a lot of time at home, that's for sure, and I'm usually pretty late for dinner, which is never a good thing. But I think if you want to make something work, you can make it work. And I've been lucky enough to just have that in my mindset for so long. And I did a little chat last night with some of the younger generations of Leeds United's academy and some of the younger girls in our club. And the massive thing for me is just resilience. I think if you want to make it work, if you want to balance that work-life balance, that and for football for me is a passion. So I wanted to carry that on in my life. So I think, you know, agreeing with coaches that I might not be there sometimes, but making sure that I've got to put some extra work in off the pitch is just something that I accept. It's something that I have to deal with. But if you want to make it work, you can make it work. Luckily, I've got a really nice boss who just allows me some time out to go and play football, and a coach that doesn't shout at me too much. So I'm lucky.
But I'm sure over the past year with the coronavirus, COVID-19 and all the things you've had to deal with, it's been even harder. Can you just let us in a little bit as to the pressures on your shoulders, really, as a nurse in the NHS system?
Yes, obviously, as you can imagine, it's like coming up to 12 months now since we all as a team at work had a discussion about what the next few weeks, as we thought, would look like as a team in the hospital. And yeah, it's it was a massive challenge for me personally, I think. But I think professionally, we just stepped into our uniform and we just all dealt with the situation as it came at us. And I think that's a massive, it's a massive aspect of who the NHS is. You know, we just, can you work a day shift or a night shift or a weekend? Can you stay late? Can you come in early? Like, all of those questions didn't need to be asked anymore. They were just accepted. And I think in a time like that, I think anyone in a professional environment would do that. And anyone that could help was doing that anyway. So I just think everyone's embraced it. We've sucked it up a good bit of Yorkshire brute and got on with it. And that's really nice. It's something that I don't think I'll ever forget as a person. Those moments where we changed theatres into ICU bays, and the times where we're changing wards into, you know, beds for different patients that weren't usually on those kinds of wards. And it was an intense environment, but that period of time has passed by for me really quickly as well. And I think it's something that I'll reflect on for quite a long time, just because it was obviously, as you can probably imagine, pretty crazy.
Absolutely. And now, fingers crossed, with the vaccine, there is light at the end of the tunnel, Olivia. And you talked about administering the first vaccine at Ellen Road. I'm assuming as a nurse you've given vaccines before, but I'm sure there's many people you've had to train up as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the vaccine program, which is going so well in the United Kingdom?
Yeah, it's one of the things we've got very right, actually. And I think that's a testament to the NHS, actually, of how far they've come. And we don't get everything right, but we've got this programme right. And particularly in Yorkshire, we've done very well at vaccinating a lot of the population. And Yeah, it was nice to be able to vaccinate the first person at Elland Road. It was really nice. It was a privilege for me. You know, vaccinating people is a privilege. There are so many people that are overwhelmed in that moment, and they want to embrace you, and we can't embrace, and they're so thankful. A lot of people are brought to tears in that moment, and for a while it was very emotional for me. You know, them first few people that I saw, I didn't really know how to handle it, and I just thought, well, I'm just doing my job. But for those people, they've been inside for almost 12 months or 9 months or 10 months, whatever it was for them, and they've not seen anyone else outside of their family but me. So for me, it was lovely, you know, people getting dressed up and ladies with the makeup on and their earrings in and old men with the hats and the ties. And, you know, it was lovely to see that they were making such an effort for that moment. But I think it emphasises how important it is for the older generation, but I think now, particularly for everybody, that this programme goes well and like it is doing.
It's quite a story, Olivia. Born and bred in Leeds. All your family are there. I know you have a ton of friends there. You play for Leeds United. The city of Leeds is a one-club city. You vaccinate in a worldwide pandemic. The first person at Elland Road, the club, the stadium where you play your football, where you watch and have watched for years, the team that you love. That must be something so special to you, that entire story right there. And it's not over yet, because, you know, you're still playing for Leeds, you're still watching Leeds, and fingers crossed there'll be fewer vaccinations in the future. But what a fairy tale almost.
Yeah, I don't think I thought about it when they first said, oh, will you come down and vaccinate someone at Elland Road? I was like, yeah, that's fine. And they were like, we want you there really early. And I was like, oh, God, like really early, like why? And they said, oh, it's going to be the first member of the public. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, like, because up until then we'd only vaccinated staff really, and they were at another centre in Leeds, which is part of the hospital where I work at. So it was bizarre for me in the moment, and a lot of my friends and family were just found it humorous, to be honest, that they picked me, you know, like why me? And but yeah, for me, it brought everything together. You know, that's like my personal life and my professional life all came together. And there are not many moments that happens for many people. But for me, it was a massive privilege. And it just emphasises who Leeds United are as a club. You know, there aren't many clubs that would probably think about the women's team or the individuals that are involved in it. And Leeds did, you know, they were straight on the phone and can you come down and make sure that you're involved in this? And I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Well, Olivia, you know, Women's History Month is all about celebrating the achievements of women. And it wasn't that long ago that women didn't have jobs and didn't work. And it certainly wasn't that long ago that they didn't play football. And here's somebody doing both, making history, absolutely. And in this month as well. So listen, Olivia, thank you so much for joining us. And we wish you and your career both ways, and of course your fandom of Leeds United, all the very best. Thank you so much for joining us on NBC.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Gosh, Mr. Musto, Olivia Smart. I didn't think there was a more impressive person at Leeds United than Marcelo Bielsa. Olivia Smart, go and tell your... Wow, I mean... To be a player, Rob, and to also be working as a nurse in the NHS, vaccinating people at Elland Road. She was the first person to vaccinate people there, and talked about what it means to the general public to have the vaccination. For some people, it was, you know, seen as basically saving their lives. Wow. I mean, that is some inspirational young lady there, Olivia Smart.
I mean, she had me at her accent. I mean, she leads through and through. And, you know, the passion that she shows for her club and saying that she wouldn't play anywhere else, she couldn't support anybody else. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. And the joy that she got, Rob, from doing those vaccinations within her football club. So, you know what? Isn't it great to listen to people that you might not listen to and do these interviews for us because of this month that we're celebrating women? I thought she was fantastic, spoke really, really well, and a lovely, lovely interview.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. So that does it for this special edition of the Two Robbies podcast. Don't forget to check out our previous episodes recapping the latest Premier League and Champions League results. You can subscribe and listen to the Two Robbies podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.